Hello, my name is Jeff Brand, a developer evangelist with Microsoft. In this short video, I will show you how we can provide simple dependency injection using nothing but XAML. We will be building a simple demo app that will provide how XAML provides dependency injection. Our demo app will be a simple Twitter application that will allow the user to enter a hashtag and search Twitter. Once the search is completed, tweets will be displayed in a list box, and the user will have the option of clicking a save button to save the search results. To build this application, we will be using the model view view model pattern. Our app will consist of a single view model called search view model. This view model will have a private member of type iFavoriteService that will provide the way in which the application will save the search results as the result of the user clicking the save button. When the user clicks the save button, it will cause the save command on the view model to execute, which in turn will call the save method on the iFavoriteService object. This is where DI comes into play. In our first version of our application, we may implement a simple storage solution that saves tweets to the application's isolated storage. However, in the future, we may want to implement a cloud-based solution. This is where many people will turn to using an IOC container to provide a way to connect the correct implementation of iFavoriteService to the application at runtime. This involves choosing an IOC container, learning how it works, configuring the container, and then writing code behind to connect the IOC-provided service object to the view model. For many applications, however, we can rely on XAML to provide a simple property-based solution. Let's explore our demo application now and see how we can use XAML to give us a simplified form of dependency injection based on properties. We'll just run through how this is set up real quickly. We won't dive into all the details, but I have a core namespace that provides a base view model that's used by all the view models of my application, a relay command that implements I command so that I can tie my view models to my views using commands, a tweet class that holds the results of my Twitter searches, and then really kind of the stuff we're most important with is in the services and the view model namespace. Inside of services, I have my iFavoriteService interface, just a very simple save method, pass in a search tag and a collection of tweets that I'm going to iterate over and save. I have two concrete implementations of iFavoriteService. There's isolated storage faves, which basically this uses Silverlight's isolated storage feature to save the tweets to disk. And then I have a cloud storage faves implementation that really doesn't do anything. It's just there to give us an alternative. There's also, if you're interested, you can explore the Twitter search service, which shows how I go and fetch the results from Twitter. Not too big a deal in this context. And then lastly, there is the search view model, which we'll come back and visit here again in just a second after we look at a couple other things. But the core of this is a collection of tweets that's the result of my search, a place to store the search tag, a save command and a search command so I can interact with my view, and then a private member variable called faves, underscore faves, that stores the concrete implementation of iFavoriteService. And here I've just gone ahead and very brittle, hardwired that in to use new isolated storage faves. The last bit of this, and this is what's really cool, if you take a look at where we're at right now, there is zero code in my code behind for my main page. If we switch over to Visual Studio, to Expression Blend, what I've done is using nothing but XAML, I've wired my view into my view model. So if you look at the user control, I've gone ahead and set the data context property on the user control to search view model. And all I did was say new, and I selected a search view model. And if we look at this XAML very quickly, you can see this has just added some XAML in here that says, hey, go ahead and at runtime instantiate an instance of search view model and assign it to the user control's user context. I've then, for example, taken the search button, and if we scroll down, you can see it's got the command property, and I have just data bound that to the data context of the page to the search command. And then I've done the same thing with the save command. There's the data binding. I'm just binding to the save command off of my search view model. And then on the list box, you can see I've got the item source, and I have just data bound that to the tweets collection to display the results. Again, everything is being done bound together in XAML. There's nothing going on in my code behind, which really makes this code very portable. So if I want to kind of pick this up with the way it's written right now and move it to Windows Phone 7, I could do that and just lay a new XAML interface from WP7 right over the top of this view model that I've created, which really is a cool scenario for end screen or multi-screen development. Let's run the app real quick just so we can see what it looks like. We'll go in and let's say we want to look at WP7, do a Twitter search on that. So here's all my results that I've gotten. I can click save, and you can see I've dived down into the save command on my view model up here. And if we step into that, you can see I've gone into the concrete implementation here. I've gone into isolated storage phase, and I can continue on and persist all of this to isolated storage. Now, obviously, I may at some point want to switch over to cloud storage. And that's where the proponents of using IOC, and I don't want to act like I don't like inversion of control and using an IOC container and things like that, because they absolutely solve a problem that a lot of people have to deal with. But they're not the only alternative for simpler scenarios where maybe I don't need everything that IOC brings to the table. For example, if we were to go look now at my search view model and start to look at how would I modify this to use an IOC, the very first thing that people would probably want me to do is come into the constructor, say I have iFavorite service, I'm going to pass in faves, and here I'll just make this change. And now the IOC, once I get it, you know, configured and bootstrapped and all set to go and mapped the right concrete implementations to the right interfaces, when the search view model got instantiated by the IOC container, it would go ahead and pass in the correct concrete implementation of phase for me, and everything would work great. Problem is that the minute I do this, I've gotten rid of my default constructor, which means that using XAML to create the data context doesn't work anymore. And what that entails then is I'm going to have to start to go into my code behind and actually start to wire up the link between my view that's being created and to the view model that needs to come to me via the IOC container. Now my code behind starts to get more stuff going on in it. I may have other pieces of code that I need to maintain. I need to learn IOC, etc. Again, lots of power and flexibility with IOC, solve certain problems in certain scenarios. But for simpler apps or, you know, scenarios where I just don't feel like IOC is worth the effort, as far as using a container goes, what we can do is use XAML. And the way I would do that is, let's go clean this up real quickly. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that constructor. And I'm actually going to take this a step further, and I'm going to go ahead and get rid of the faves declaration here, or the fave statement inside of my constructor entirely. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up now and actually create a property. And it's going to be of type I favorite service, just like that. And we'll just call it favorite service. Then what I'll do is, just to make sure my code keeps working, let's come down here and change this to favorite service, is I'm going to go into my XAML now. And what we'll do is grab main page, look at just the XAML, because this is something we need to do by hand coding the XAML. It would be nice if I could do this with a point and click type of approach, but not today. And I'm going to add a new namespace. We'll just keep the same one that the tools have used already. I'm going to add a namespace for the services in my application, right? Because this is where the concrete implementations of my favorite service live. So I've added this namespace. We're going to come down to the user context now, and we're going to modify that search view model declaration. We're going to come in here, go into view models, look at my search view model, and I'm going to grab the favorites property. So you can see all the properties that are hanging off of my view model right here in XAML. And what I will do then is tell the XAML that at runtime I want it to instantiate an instance of the isolated storage faves and actually assign it to that property. Let's go ahead and run this. Here comes my app. We'll just do another search. We'll skip this next time. Say search. There's my results. I want to save those. I click save. I've come down into the save command of my view model. I'm going to step into this, and you can see I've gone right into isolated storage phase, and I can now save to isolated storage. What I can then do is, let's say I want to switch to cloud now. I want to use cloud service. So we'll go back to main page. Let's go ahead and just change this XAML and change it to cloud storage phase. Run my app again. Here's my app. I could do another search, but we'll just go ahead and click on save from here, even though we don't have anything really to save. So here I am hitting it in my save command, step into it, and now you can see it's gone ahead and already wired up an instance of cloud storage faves, and I'd save out to the cloud. A very simple approach to provide you property-based dependency injection in a very simple sort of way. Now, the downside to this is that if I needed, for some reason, inside of my constructor, inside the search view model, to do something like this, you know, favorite service dot, you know, get past favorites or something like that, right? If I need to be able to do some kind of call out to this property as part of my constructor, this wouldn't work because favorite services will be null. The construction process for XAML will be instantiate the default constructor. Then once the object is in play, I'll go ahead and assign the favorite service property with whatever XAML instance that was defined for me in my XAML and assign that there. So this would always be null at this point. So you just, it's one of those things you just have to be aware of. There's ways obviously to work around it. They do it all the time with property-based injection from an IOC container. So just different options there that allow you to get some of the flexibility of dependency injection without having to go full-blown IOC containers or write some, you know, code to figure it out on your own or whatever. We can just mark it up in XAML. So not perfect for every app, certainly, but hopefully you found this useful and we'll be able to use it in some of the applications that you may be developing in the near future. Thanks.